going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What you don't know can hurt you when it comes to your small business. Information is king, as they say, but how do you get the information you need to make your business successful, whether it's a new business or one that's been around for a while? How do you know what questions to ask? And how do you deal with mistakes? Well, we're answering those questions and much more tonight as we recognize National Small Business Week. Joining me to talk about this are Antonio Doss, District Director for the Washington Region of the U.S. Small Business Administration, Chrissy Whitfield, Director of the Small Business Development Center, and Pinky Reddick of Pinky Eats. We're going to be talking to her and hearing about her story as well. Lines are open if you have a comment, if you have a question about starting your small business or perhaps even taking it to the next level, including where can you find the money to make your business grow. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Everyone, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Wonderful to be here.
Let me start with you, Chrissy. The economy is booming. The stock market is doing well, if you don't count today. So, is this the right time to start a small business, or better yet, is there ever a bad time to start a small business?
Honestly, there's never been a bad time to start a small business. I think when times are good, many people love to flood the market, but when times are bad, people also start businesses. We have people that start businesses because they can't get jobs. We have people that start businesses because they've been laid off. I think entrepreneurs, the thing that's great about the entrepreneurial spirit is that it is usually filling a gap. And whatever that gap is for you in your life or for the gap that you see in the market, you're filling that gap, whether it matters. It doesn't really matter whether the market is hot or not. If you're an entrepreneur, the market's not going to stop you from entering the market.
Mr. Doss, what do you think is the best thing for people to do when it comes to looking for funding? Do they first need to know if they really need it?
Yeah, that's one of the most important points. A lot of times business owners or aspiring business owners, they have a notional amount of how much money they need. I need $5,000. I need $100,000. It's not always rooted in any real reality. And so sometimes they just think that that's what they need. One of the things we always recommend is to really try to understand what amount of money you do need so that you order and get the exact amount that you need. Too much money, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll waste it away. And we have support through a lot of programs here in the district in this region where we can help entrepreneurs understand how much money they need to borrow so that they're borrowing a correct amount.
Mm-hmm. First things first, Ms. Whitfield, if you do want to start, some people just kind of jump in and they start selling stuff, whether they're selling pies or dresses or things that they make. And some of them are very, very successful at doing that. But others try to develop a plan. Is there any first things first?
Well, there are first things first. I think that if you want to start a business in the district, it's important to make sure that you are actually making money. I meet a lot of people that think that they are business owners and they actually have a hobby.
What's the difference?
Profit. So if you make a lot of pies and those pies cost you $10 to make and you sell those pies for $8, then you have a hobby.
Mm. An expensive hobby.
And so, you know, we have a lot of resources at DSLBD that help you figure out whether you're a hobbyist or a small business owner. And if you're a hobbyist, we want to move you into the world of small business. We have an online small business toolkit that can help you take you through some of those exercises and connect you with some resources that help you figure that out.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about small business, getting you the information that you need to make the right decision about the small business that you're going to start or the small business that you currently own. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Speaking of eating, Pinky's Eats?
Yes,
Pinky Reddick is here, and she has now been in business for 3 years. Give me a quick rundown on why you developed Pinky's Eats, and you didn't bring anything, but that's okay. How did you get started?
So I was working for a company as a restaurant manager for 10 years, and I was working 50 to 70 hours, and I said, why can't I do this for myself? Because I am growing the company, I'm giving new ideas, and I decided maybe I should just try this for myself. I started out serving dinners at my son's school, and because the teachers didn't like lunch, they were looking for lunch options, so I saw a gap there where I can possibly feed teachers and even some students in my community. And my community always had McDonald's, Wendy's, and the carryout. So that started the idea for Pinky's Eats. I thought about it for a while, and I said, let's just jump in and do it. So I start off, like you talked about, just kind of selling dinners and trying to make a profit and seeing where that went. And then now 3 years later, we have school lunch contracts. We're catering. We just did our first wedding in March. So it's exciting.
It sounds like it. Was there a point when you said to yourself, aha, and it was time to quit your job? Were you doing the restaurant management and the beginnings of Pinky's Eats at the same time?
Absolutely.
How did you decide to quit your job?
Well, I had some retirement money that my company was matching at the time, and I was doing a lot of work to where as though the demand for my meals start conflicting with my job, and I said, this is it, let's do it. So I was just kind of fearless. I just bought a house in Ward 7 at the time.
Congratulations.
So my realtor didn't think it was a good idea, but I just went for it.
Mm-hmm. When you're hearing this story, Mr. Doss, what are you hearing? Is this a common story? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it is. One of the things entrepreneurs do is they recognize opportunities. They see gaps in the marketplace. So Pinky saw a gap. She had the skill and understanding of how to handle restaurant work because she had been in the business for 10 years or more. So that gave her a lot of confidence. And one of the things we recognize about entrepreneurs is they have to have a certain amount of confidence to be able to go into business because it is a risk. And, you know, we're here in the D.C. metropolitan area where people love their good government jobs and not always willing to take that risk. But we also recommend not only do they take the risk, but be mindful of what they know and don't know so that you can get good information, good advice to help steer your success in the proper direction.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about National Small Business Week, and we're giving you information about resources, opportunities, and maybe some ideas about your small business. Let's go to Sonia. Sonia calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I am a former government military spouse, and I am. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
And I also am now back working with the government.
Okay.
And I have made several attempts to start my business, and I have all my DUNS numbers and everything registered into the contracting system for the federal government. Yet, when I go to try to get startup money, because I am a startup company, even though everybody wants our services, they tell me no.
First of all, for those who aren't familiar with the DUNS number, and I'll start with you, Christy, because what she's talking about is government contracting, and there's a lot of alphabet soup that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. What is a DUNS number, and also why do you believe that it is difficult for her to get a foot in the door?
I think it is. It's hard sometimes to break into government. You know, the you want to get everything. You have to have all your ducks in a row, and then you want to see past performance. And then you can't get past performance until somebody gives you a job. And I think it becomes a chicken and egg situation. You know, one of the things that we work with in Washington, we have the CBE program. The
CBE.
Oh, yeah. And again, I'm sorry with the alphabet soup. The community business enterprise. We have small business. And the mayor has allocated and challenged the cabinet to make sure that this year over $840 million are spent with small businesses I'm the director of DSLBD, and I gave the wrong definition. Certified Business Enterprise.
That's okay.
All right. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time on your radio show.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, as long as you're not running for office, you have nothing to worry about.
I am absolutely not running for office. If the mayor says I'm absolutely not. We want to make sure that local money stays local, and we have a certified business enterprise certification program to make sure that we are identifying those businesses. You know, to the caller's question, though, it is hard to get that first crack. And I think that, you know, there's not really, you know, I would look at Antonio and say, it's hard to get that first bite at the apple.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And before the DUNS number, because that's more of a federal, but.
Yeah, it's the part of the numbering system that every contractor has to have registered. There's something called SAM, which is the System for Award Management, which is another one of the registries. So there's several of those that anybody who's getting into government contracting space needs to register so that we can account for them properly. And it sounds like in Sonia's case, she's trying to do maybe two things. She's trying to probably get work to get a contract, whether it's a prime contract, which is difficult to do right away. A lot of times people have to start as a subcontractor with another prime. And then she's also trying to get money, perhaps maybe to either staff up her business or to buy equipment or materials she might need in order to fulfill a contract need. One of the real big challenges on the government contracting side, if you do win a contract, it's really great news. You're very excited. And your contract may start on July 1st, but you may not actually get paid on that until October, November, because there's ramp-up time, and then you have to perform, and you have to get paid. And so there's a gap of sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 months between when you start really expending money and when you have money to actually pay the people that you need to pay.
Mm-hmm. The bad news is that a lot of times people think that getting those certifications really is all that you need. And I think that we have to do a better job as local and federal employees to say, no, there's a lot of other steps. I know at DSLBD we work very hard to make matchmaking happen so that people can meet the actual procurement officers that make those buying decisions.
What is matchmaking?
So matchmaking is when, you know, we just had an event with Amazon Web Services where we bring potential businesses into the room with people in that company that make the decisions on buying. Mm-hmm. And we call that matchmaking because you want to meet the people that are actually buying what you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Sonia, thank you so much for sharing with us. We are going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a bit. But if you're on the line, that includes Ray calling from Maryland, Aaron calling from Alexandria. Give us a call. Rather, we're going to talk to you. But if you're trying to get through, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We continue on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
If you really knew me.
If you really knew me.
Miguel. If you really knew Miguel, you would know.
Well, I fell in love with music early on.
Ooh, the very first song I wrote, I can't
really tell you about.
It was about some girl. I grew up in a time in Los Angeles where there was a lot of racial tension between Mexicans and blacks.
Want to know more? Check out The Artist Lounge, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship of refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. As we recognize National Small Business Week, we're talking to you about opportunities and information you need to be successful. My guests are Antonio Doss, District Director for the Washington Region of the U.S. Small Business Administration. Also, Chrissy Whitfield, Director of Small Business Development Center. Also joining us now, Chef Maurice Dixon. We've got a lot of cooking folks in here today. I have to watch my diet. If you have a comment or question about developing a small business, whether you're talking about finances or information or the like, please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Ray calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Ray. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening. How y'all doing?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
I have a cleaning business that's been in existence for quite some time. I had 5 existing customers, but I'm at a standstill. My cleaning business is paying personal bills and is not a business anymore. And I need to try to find a way to get to expand it, get more marketing, and most important, working capital to take it to the next level. I just want to go more into the construction field, construction cleaning. And I can't bid on a contract because I don't have the funding. And in construction cleaning, you don't get paid because you end up having net 60. And if you don't have the working capital to cover it, then there's no need in me bidding on it. So these are the struggles that I'm having. So I need any kind of resources and help that I can get. So I look forward to these type of conversation that you have. So I thank you for that.
Anybody want to suggest to Ray what his next move should be?
Yeah, one of the things, Ray, that you and anybody else who's in a situation like this could do is take advantage of some of the resources that SBA and our resource partners provide. So you're in Maryland, and we have a small business development center that's based out of the University of Maryland that is not only located there, but we cover Prince George's and Montgomery County, and connect with them. They have small business counselors. They're business coaches. They can help you look at your financial situation. They can help you kind of identify where your opportunities are, what challenges you have. They can essentially work with you as they try to work with the lenders to figure out where your best opportunity is to get funding and what the plan might be in order to put that in place. So it's a free service. It doesn't cost you anything.
There's also procurement technical assistance program. So we have the PTAC at DSLBD and the
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
So PTAC, Procurement Technical Assistance Corporation. And it's a service that helps companies figure out how to procure with the government, federal.
And what does that mean?
So procure is get contracts.
Okay.
And so if you look up PTAC, you know, they're PTACs across the country, and they are we have one at DSLBD, Department of Small and Local Business Development, but they're also in other jurisdictions too.
Correct. So, at the University of Maryland, the same location where the Small Business Development Center, Ray, is also the PTAC, the Procurement Technical Assistance Center.
Okay. Ray, hopefully that will give you a hand. Before I go back to the phone lines, however, one of the things that before we lost Pinky, and I didn't have a chance to go into, because one of the things that she was able to do was to utilize something called a dream grant. And she's in Ward 7, as she said. What is a dream grant?
So in fiscal year 2020, the mayor has put $200,000 into the DSLBD budget for small businesses in Ward 7 and 8. And so This was available last year, thanks to Councilmember White in our budget, and Pinky was one of the recipients of that grant. So we'll be doing that again in this next coming year. So if you're a small business owner in either 7 or 8, you'll be eligible to apply for a grant of up to $10,000. And if you go to our website, which is dslbd.dc.gov, we'll have information as we get closer to October about how to apply. We'll have tons of information sessions about it. And we also marry that with information and training and technical assistance. As people come through and apply for these grants, we realize where people's business plans are strong and where they are less strong. And we try to help make sure that for the businesses that get the grants, that's great. But for all of the applicants, we want to make sure that the experience helps strengthen their business.
Now, short of just being a Ward 7 or Ward 8 resident for this particular grant, what are the other requirements?
For the Dream Grants,
yes.
That is the only requirement.
So you just said,
because
I mean, you can't just say, hey, I live in Ward 7 and I'm going to apply for this grant because I've got a business. I mean, certainly there are some steps, I would imagine.
Well, you need to have a clean hand certificate, which means you can't owe the government any money. And that is pretty much it. Because the thing is that we want to spur small businesses, and we want to encourage the people that want to start small businesses. And so this mayor wanted to ensure that the hurdles were low on this. We wanted to make sure that we're not making this, you know, a million typical things the way the government is sometimes seen as extremely, you know, difficult to deal with. We said, hey, we want to make sure that we know we have entrepreneurs everywhere. Well, we know we need to see more businesses east of the river. And so let's do something revolutionary, which is make it easy for people to get some money east of the river. And that's what this mayor is doing.
Mm-hmm. Chef Reese.
Yes.
I would ask you, where's my plate? Yeah. But you and Pinky are obviously related because nobody brought me anything to eat.
You have a cordial invitation to Aunt Betty's with it.
Well,
open.
See, there you go. You've already beat Pinky. Tell me about your business and what kind of resources did you use to help build it?
So I am an Aspire Entrepreneurship graduate. Aspire Entrepreneurship is for returned citizens, and because of the Check the Box program, I found this resource, and through the Aspire Entrepreneurship program, DSLBD helped me with funding, with launching my business, with building the foundation of my business. And since then, Reese's services have grown numerous of our contracts, like small, like Black Chamber of Commerce, the mayor's office, numerous of contracts, been on the back of the bus, and also future owner of Aunt Betty's. Mm-hmm. So look forward to that. So DSLBD is one of the places that if you are sincere about getting a business, that's the first place to start. SBA is the program that you want to go to get towards to DSLBD. And these two places right there is where anyone I would suggest to go to begin to build your business, to get a foundation, to get the right proper way of putting it together, a business plan, and as well structure for your business for financing.
How long have you been in business?
This is my second year.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
How's it been?
It's been wonderful, even though there are some challenges as far as funding wise. But when you put your best foot forward, and something Christy said about a hobby and making a profit, if you're not making a profit, it doesn't make sense to be in this. You absolutely have to know how to set your profit margin, one of the tools that DSLBD will teach you. And so what I have learned is how to set my profit margin, that it may be profitable for Reese's services.
I'm sure it's going to be great, but even if it doesn't work out, you can also be a voice on the next Marvel Avengers movie. Let me go back to the phone line. Don't come in here trying to take my job. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron calling from Alexandria. Thanks for calling, Aaron. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question when it comes to risk management.
Go right ahead.
More specifically pertaining to regulations for whatever industry you're in. I have two startups. One is a transportation service, and the second one is in the food and beverage industry. And as an entrepreneur, I'm struggling with how do you manage, you know, the risk when it comes to operating a business and not being fully in compliance because maybe you don't have yet the revenue stream to afford kind of those fixed costs that come with being in compliance. Like, for example, with my transportation service, there's several regulatory agencies that all have their hand out, and they basically are saying, if you just want to do business here in the Washington, D.C., or greater metropolitan area, you know, you need to, you know, have us check your box. But that comes with a steep cost, the big barrier to entry. So just to kind of summarize, I guess, my question, how do entrepreneurs navigate this kind of murky, you know, pool where, you know, unless you get funding up front, maybe you wrote a business plan or you got angel investors or what have you, right, you may not have the fixed cost and the built-in capital to sustain you for 6, 9 months, maybe a year to kind of get your feet wet and get some streams of revenue coming in. But at the same time, you want to be a responsible business owner and try to do things the proper way, because you can always get family and friends to buy into your business and use your service. But when you're trying to get more consistent streams of revenue, you oftentimes have to go outside of those existing relationships that you have. So now you're, you know, talking about, you know.
Aaron, let me stop you and see if my guests can at least help you through that. Let's start, first of all, with SBA, because, again, that's another chicken and egg thing. And I think one of the things is, if you don't have all of your boxes checked, if you don't have all, if you're not in compliance, you could get in trouble.
Yes.
While you're trying to stay out of trouble.
Right. This point that he's brought up is such a critical one, risk management. And it's one, I'm actually really glad that he brought it forward, because it's one that a lot of people ignore. Most people are looking for, how do I grow revenue streams? And that's pretty much it. You have to figure out a way to have those other pieces in place, not only in terms of when you're starting so that you can get those boxes checked, as he was saying. So that might mean that he may need to get a permanent working capital loan, because he's not looking at short term. This is probably fixed cost that he needs to establish certain things within his business structure.
So what is a permanent working capital
loan? This means more, it's more of a term loan. So maybe it's a 5-year repayment or a 3-year repayment, as opposed to something he's going to expect to pay back 2 or 3 months later, because he's still going to be in a heavy growth mode for his business. But the other reason I'm really glad he brought it up is there's another element of risk management, which means, who's watching your books? Who is your trusted person? Who's your accountant? Who's your finance person in your office? And when you're in a startup mode, it may be just you for all those roles. But as you grow, you really need to make sure you have good risk management tools in place, dual controls, signature checking. I've talked to 2 businesses just recently who have had very significant internal theft and hacking situations that have taken place because the proper risk management tools weren't there. There was a lot of trust and not enough verify. And so this component that he's brought up is a critical one. And not only, again, is it important when you're starting, but as you grow, when he starts to get those really big contracts, at the back of those contracts, there's a lot of terms and conditions.
And indemnities. Yeah, indemnifications.
And people overlook those.
What
but
was
they're
that?
Critical.
And indemnifications.
Meaning
that you're going to be held responsible for things by people that you're selling things to. And so they're going to expect you to have levels of insurance and levels of coverage that you need to make sure before you're just sort of signing your life away.
So as he is asking, even as he is reaching for revenue streams, it seems that what you're saying is he's got to have some kind of funding to help sustain the business.
Well, I might actually think in a slightly different way, right? So, you know, sometimes there's ways to scale. So when I started my business, we started small and grew. And sometimes you can do things and you can get to a place where you can you can maybe, you know, if it's food, maybe you're catering before you're able to afford the kiosk, before you're able to afford a restaurant, before you're able to afford a food empire, and the costs that come along with that and the risks that come along with that. So I think there are two things that I would want to say to Aaron. I would say, are there ways that you could scale your business so that you could grow at different levels and build equity or build income if you're not able to buy the big pieces of infrastructure that you need? And then the other thing that you wanted to talk about with regard to financial risk, but I also wanted to just put out there, now that we're talking about risk, is industry risk. Because you need to also be aware of changes and things that are happening in the industries that you work in. Because we see things that happen, and you think you're building something, and then an industry shifts. And all of a sudden, you're sitting here, you know, holding a telephone in a mobile economy. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to make sure that while you're building this better industry, that you're aware of what other people are building. So I'd say while you're building those industries, make sure you see what else is happening in the universe.
And I want to speak from an entrepreneurship perspective. When there is little funding or no funding, there are certain things that you can do. And DSLBD is great in having these. And there are a lot of places that do it. They're called pitch competitions. So you can pitch your business. It's something like a Shark Tank thing, mm-hmm. where you have investors around. And if you just have the right perspective and you go out there and you pitch, you win that pitch competition, you get some money to fund your business. And a lot of other stuff that you can do, like Small Business Week is this week. You can come out and you begin to network and you start introducing yourself and find out who the people that you need to talk with, to meet with, to see how you can better structure your business in order to get towards the financing. Because a lot of time the financing does come a little later. You have to go and do the infrastructure, the planning of your business before you can get to the finance.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your phone call. And certainly we wish you all the best. And by the way, not only for you, but for all of our listeners, many of the resources that were mentioned during this conversation will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock, including the podcast of this same conversation. So you can look for that on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock. Aaron, thank you so much. You were going to say something real quick, Antonio.
Yeah, I was just going to tell Aaron, he's right in Alexandria. We have a small business development center. A gentleman named Bill Reagan is one of the counselors there. He does an excellent job. Reach out to him and have him work with you on structuring the situation and to help you with it.
Very well. Let's go to Ham. Ham calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I'm affectionately known as the T-Man. For the past, 15 years, I make teas, lemonades, Kool-Aids, and all types of beverages. And I do it all myself. It's a home-based business. It always has been. My business started from one customer and one follower on Instagram, and it has grown. But it needs the real air in the sail. I have a wonderful product. I'm out every week selling it. It's in demand, but I'm still doing it myself, via my truck, my coolers, my ice, and my routes. How can I grow?
That's an excellent question. Anyone?
So, Ham, you are my kind of entrepreneur. So you sound like a bootstrapper. I love it. I love bootstrappers. We, you know, at DSLBD, we've got a Made in D.C. program. I see you're in Fort Washington, but I imagine Maryland has similar types of programs.
And they do drink tea in D.C.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yes. I would say move
so
to
tell
Washington.
Tell me the tea, Christy.
Let's sip some tea on this. You know, I think you need to think about what you're doing. And I imagine that I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably started with the way you've done it, and then you've just been doing the way you've been doing it more.
Yes.
And I would say back up a little bit and think about if you could do what you've been doing differently. And think about if you could be doing it in a more routinized or mechanized way. Are there ways that you could do it at higher volumes? Are there ways you could buy in bigger bulk? I think that what we see a lot of times is that people do one thing and then they just sort of amplify and do more. And what you end up doing, Ham, is you run yourself ragged. And then you're exhausted, and then you get sick, and then you get tired, and then you quit. And I don't want you to do that.
No, I'm gonna tell you, I will not ever let this go because this is so much bigger than what I'm doing. I'm doing my best to set up a business, a dynasty for my children. You know, for when I'm not here, there are times I don't feel like being in the kitchen and breaking those pots out, but I know what I have to do for the following week, so I push through, and I make these drinks, and it's just wonderful.
Ham, let me interrupt. Do you have what kind of network do you have? You know, are you doing this? It sounds like you're doing this alone.
I am. It's just me, word of mouth. I do use Instagram. That's the only social network I'm on, and that has helped me quite a bit as far as reaching people that I would have never met. I'm known in my area. A lot of folks.
Ham, you're not. Reese is raising his hand. Sounds like he's got some.
Go ahead, Chef. Yes, see, as an entrepreneur, Ham, I want you to know that we are ingenuitive, man. We find a way to get things done. So there are certain places, like in D.C., we have what we call Union Kitchen. Union Kitchen will help you with manufacturing and packaging, where you could probably put that now and probably pitch it to that, get into the stores. So that's what Christy is talking about, is that you're networking. How are you networking? Because that is how you're going to get your product to the next level, is meeting people who can get you to where you want to go. So you have to go online, I guess, to DSLBD and find out what resources that you can get to and how to package and manufacture your product.
Well, Ham, good luck to you, and thank you so much. And as I said before, the resources that we were discussing this evening will be on our website on WHUR.com. Chef, I want to ask you something, and I think it's really, really critical. On this program, for years, we always talk to returning citizens. Mm-hmm. And the constant concern is opportunity, whether it's about jobs or starting one's own business. How much time since you returned did you have between getting out and starting a business? How much time are we talking about?
Close to 10 years.
10 years. So, and that's critical, because what was it that allowed you to get to where you are now over the past 2 years? And I guess what I'm really looking for is a word for those who have been through the same and are thinking about giving up, or, God forbid, thinking about going back in because of these difficult circumstances.
So I'm going to be honest with you. To the thing that irritated me the most, that made me say, okay, something have to shift, was the changing of jobs because of my criminal past. You would get hired and work great, even become supervisor, and then all of a sudden, change of policy will come, and they will fire all the ones with criminal records. I've experienced that twice. Mm-hmm. At that point, I said I would no longer allow anyone to be in charge of my financial security. And that is when I decided to become an entrepreneur. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, you have to have determination to not fail. I've knocked on 1,099 doors, but it was the 2,000th door that opened up. And once that door opened up, that is when I began to shine. I began to give my best foot forward. I refused to fail. To me, in entrepreneurship, there is no failure. You may have a setback, but you just use that as a learning lesson to move forward. The determination not to return back inside of incarceration have to be stronger to push yourself and prepare yourself towards entrepreneurship and independency than it is to do the easy thing, which is to do something dumb like commit a crime. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have an alliance, you have to have a network, you have to have a support system, and you have to believe in yourself. But more important, this is me, I'm talking for me, you have to have God.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things, Antonio, is that in trying to get help from, you know, the federal government, a lot of people are afraid of red tape. What is your best pitch for budding entrepreneurs who are afraid of dealing with the federal government and the kind of opportunity and resources that you offer?
Well, it's a reality. You know, if you're dealing with the government, you're going to be faced with certain rules, certain procedures, certain processes, some of which...
and Chef is laughing at you.
Yeah. Some of which are actually helpful for you, you know, to do. But I think you just have to be prepared. You have to have discipline. These things force you to have discipline. And a lot of times, you know, entrepreneurs are sometimes, you know, full speed ahead. You know, we'll get to the details later. You need the details as well. And the other thing I really wanted to just chime back in along with Chef's comments and really it also with Ham's, you guys are both doing something that other people are watching. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, watching you. Mm-hmm. And they're watching Ham. And you heard Ham talk about the next generation, his kids being able to see what this entrepreneurial route can do. That's so critical for this community here in particular, because in the African-American community, it's what I'm speaking of, where we have not necessarily been the best entrepreneurs and don't necessarily have that legacy. Once people see what's possible, they're encouraged to make that step as well. And we just need to build more and more of that infrastructure so the next couple generations will automatically think about entrepreneurialism as opposed to thinking, I've got to go work for the biggest organization I can find and be under somebody else's employee that whole time.
You know, one of the other things that just happened recently, Christy, I'm sure you're quite familiar with this, was the opening of the Two Birds Daycare Center last week. And, you know, that wasn't in Ward 7. It wasn't in Ward 8. This wasn't, as far as I know, an Aspire grant. We're talking $330,000, a grant from the city for those who have bigger aspirations and bigger dreams and bigger plans. Is it about finding the end to city government? Do you have to shake some hands in order to get $330,000 or $30,000 or what have you in order to get your business off the ground?
Well, I think anyone that is getting their business off the ground has to get their name out there and has to help get themselves noticed. I want to circle back quickly and say something about Aspire that I think is important, which is that this Aspire program is into its fifth cohort. And unlike many, many other programs for reentering citizens, we are currently enjoying a zero recidivism rate.
Okay.
And that is not something that other programs can really enjoy. I think that, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, your passion has got to shine through, and you've got to make sure that you're making sure that everybody from the mountaintops is hearing what you're selling and get everybody excited about it. You know, bring it to us at the government. This mayor wants to support everybody that wants to get their fair shot.
Interesting. Well, I want to thank all of you for sharing your expertise and your experience during this National Small Business Week. And certainly, Chef, congratulations.
Thank you, my friend.
Keep that nose to the grindstone.
Look forward to seeing you at Aunt Betty's.
Yeah, I was about to say, because since you didn't bring me a plate, neither you nor Pinky, we will have words. No, congratulations to both of you. Thank you so much. And, of course, Antonio Dawson, Christy Whitfield, I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, May 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.